Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Just a quick calendar note, Muncie Civic Theater's new season has begun, and tonight, if you're listening to us on Friday, that means the opening of Noises Off, a pretty wild farce with a terrific cast and director. We'll talk with those folks on the show next week, very fun people. In the meantime, you can find more details at MuncieCivic.org. You know, headlines across the country have been aflame for more than a week, with news from a troubled neighborhood outside St. Louis. The broad outlines of the story are familiar enough, but a secondary wave of coverage has touched on the question of what other neighborhoods in other cities might also be sources of anger over lack of opportunity and treatment by authorities. In Muncie, the Whiteley neighborhood is the city's best-known historically African-American enclave, but the story here is about a community shoring up a reputation from years past, and now a place of proud residents, tidy lawns, well-kept properties. Cornelius Dollison and his wife Mary are two of the neighborhood's best-known residents, both very active volunteers across the city. He is president of the Whiteley Neighborhood Association. Now they're working on restoring Whiteley's historic Schaefer Chapel. That's where we met them the other day.
Let's tell the folks where we are. We're standing on Highland Avenue, and if somebody had not been here before, I mean, we're at the church. This is the Whiteley neighborhood. This is a neighborhood with a lot of history. For people who are not familiar with that, what's Whiteley neighborhood?
Well, Whiteley neighborhood is a predominantly African-American community, but it's becoming more diverse. I would say we probably get 40% white in the Whiteley area here, and probably a small amount of Hispanic lives in the Whiteley area. But it's a really caring community.
A lot of people would be proud if their neighborhood was as tidily kept as this. No trash around homes, yards, pretty well cared for. Has it always been that way? Have you?
No. We have made a real concerted effort to try to change that. Beautification and infrastructure, we really made that a focus, one of our goals. We had a strategic plan to develop our goals, and we come up with 7 goals that we as a neighborhood would focus our efforts in trying to make those improvements that the community itself wanted to see. Number one on those goals is infrastructure and beautification. The number two is our community safety, health and safety. So we partner with IU Health and Open Door and everyone else that we can to try to help us achieve those goals that we have for safety and health. Education, and that's one of our primary focuses, education in our community, and that's health and education. Employment and business. We try to do what we can to assist the people in our area to be able to find jobs, and so we partner with the Chamber of Commerce to try to gain all the help we can and training and whatever we can do to help people find jobs and to make business a success. And so we work with our people in the neighborhood to try to accomplish these goals.
Did you grow up here? Were you so you've been here for a while one way or the other, right?
Yes, I'm a Muncie native, born and raised here all my life. I've been here in Muncie, and I'm proud of my home, Muncie, and we try to do what we can to make it a better community.
How is it different today than it would have been in the 1970s or sometime in the past? You see progress?
Why, sure, because one of the things that we used to do as a neighborhood association And it's typical. I say it's typical in most of the neighborhood associations. We would have our meetings, and it would turn into just a regular gripe session. People would complain about this, and they would complain about that. But we decided we need to make some changes and look at it in the positive aspect. And what do we want to do, and how do we want to do it to really make these changes we want to see? So for the last 4 or 5 years, we've been really working diligently to try to improve on our neighborhood. And I think we have done quite a job of trying to make things better. I would say we are probably about the most active neighborhood association in the city. And so what we try to do is model what we'd like to see in our community. We try to model that right here in the Whiteley area. So we're doing things that no one else has done, but we have had reason to really energize us to want to do these things. And that's why we are so active in trying to do what we're doing.
Do you remember being a child around here or a young person? I mean...
Yes, because see, we used to attend this church when I was just a young man. And as a matter of fact, we don't attend this church, but my wife and I, we were married here in this church. So that's why this facility here is really dear to our heart. Outside of just the history of what happened here about 80 years ago, it still holds a special place in our heart because, like I say, we were married here.
Y'all were married here. Remember that? What that day was like?
I do remember that day.
Tell me, were you standing where we're standing now? Did you?
Well, maybe. I'm sure I was close by. I can't remember exactly.
We're looking at this beautiful stained glass window here and this church. I mean, that's got to feel kind of special, the place where you were married.
Very special. Very special. And even more so today, now that I see how it has changed and it's beautiful. We're so proud of it. And proud of all the members here who continue to attend the church and are making sure that it continues for many years to come.
Tell me about this neighborhood. You know, as we stand here, there's been some progress.
Oh, absolutely. You see, as these people are going past, they're all waving, all blowing. It's a friendly neighborhood. If you are new in the community and you don't know exactly where you're going, you can almost ask anyone and somebody can say, oh, it's right there, it's here, it's whatever. So we have a great neighborhood.
Time keeps creeping through the neighborhood.
Mary Dollison and her husband Cornelius, two of Muncie's best-known volunteers and civic leaders. They're winners of the Star Press Person of the Year Award. He's an electrician and builder, retired now, president of the Whiteley Neighborhood Association. Mary is founder of Motivate Our Minds, an after-school tutoring organization.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
My name is J-Ron McGee, and we decided to make this church and like rebuild it and build landscaping and do parking lots and put a parking lot right here and then like have a park for little kids so like when they can come outside and play park, have fun and stuff. And so like, and then they want to turn it into a museum, but I think that's good too.
Can you step over here too?
Hi, my name is Janiah McGee.
Are you guys, you're not brothers or anything like that?
We are twins.
Are you twins?
Yes.
So we're standing next to the church here, and they have built a ramp for handicapped folks. And what you guys are going to be doing is helping put together the parking for that and some of the... What's your piece of that? What are y'all working on?
We're going to build a parking lot, like, real close for the handicapped people because some people can't walk upstairs. And so it'll be real helpful for, like, when they walk up the
sure.
ramp. But I think we should scoot it closer a little bit more to the church because then...
Is he saying to move this thing?
He's not saying that, is he?
Yeah, he's saying move this closer to
the tree.
But like if we move it closer, because some people might like drop something,
yeah,
and then they don't want to have to come all the way out here and then get it over there and then come back all the way up there.
I gotcha.
So then we'll have to. Then that's just gonna take a lot of extra work, and then we might not have all the money just to do that little one tiny thing, because we gotta do all this other stuff before we could do something that big.
Sounds like your brother doesn't always agree with you.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to work this out. Y'all will figure it out. Well, congratulations on coming so far in scouting.
Thank you.
Yeah, is that fun? Would you tell other people to do it?
Yeah. Yes.
Tell me about that a little bit.
Well, it's pretty fun because you get to do stuff and you experience stuff. Unlike if you go out and try to experience it on your own, you have people helping you do stuff, accomplish things.
What's been the best part of scouting?
Well, we've been to the National Jamboree, and
that's a lot of people, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is a ton of people that go to that, and you get to camp out.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Canoeing or any of that stuff?
No, well, BMX.
Yeah. Oh, BMX.
Skateboarding,
okay.
Fishing,
okay.
Hiking, and swimming.
Yeah. Scuba diving.
What grade are y'all in?
Eighth. We're going into the eighth grade.
Okay. And what do you want to do after that? What do you want to do?
Go to high school.
Okay. And then what? Anything else?
Then go to college.
Okay.
Graduate from high school, then go to college.
Then what?
Then graduate from college and get a good job.
Okay.
Then marry a girl.
He's really planning ahead. You going to be his best man or anything? Or?
I don't know.
Yeah. We'll figure that out.
If you could kind of stand here, that's good.
Tell me your name and how you're involved with these two guys.
My name is Gloria Adams. I'm the Scoutmaster for Troop 189 at Motivator Minds. I have worked with J. Ron and Janaya McGee since they were in the first grade. And they have gone through all their Cub Scouting. And now we're doing Boy Scouting. And they've accomplished a lot in their short time. They've gone to the 2013 National Jamboree. They are members of the Order of the Arrow Brotherhood, and they're firecrafters. So we do a lot of things during the summer. They go to summer camp at Camp Kreitenstein.
They're on the way to becoming Eagle Scouts, is that
right? Yes, we are working on an Eagle project right now at Schaefer Chapel.
Where we are standing. We're standing in the lot next to the church. How popular is scouting in the Whiteley neighborhood? Is there a difference between African-American kids and white kids when it comes to scouting?
I would say yes. I don't know what the reason is, but it is hard for the Afro-American young men to get into scouting because they get made fun of, and that's why they don't participate sometimes.
These guys are participating. What's different about them? I mean, you've been encouraging them, and part of it's you.
We've been encouraging them, and they want to do it, and we set a goal when they became Weebelos that if they ever got past Weebelos in their era of life, we made a pact. There's five of them. We made a pact that we would all work on. Their goal was to become an Eagle. They even named their patrol the Eagle Patrol. And they've had a lot of people help us on the way. I mean, it's not a one person, but they've been very successful because we've had people in the community help me to achieve what we have.
In your experience, what does involvement with scouting offer young folks like that?
These are our leaders of the future, good character, making good citizens, productive members of society.
And there haven't been that many Eagle Scouts who are black kids lately.
That is what Mrs. Dollison has done some research, and she said it's been a long time. They can't recall when they had an Afro-American in the Whiteley community become Eagle.
How's the perception of Whiteley neighborhood been in the minds of people, and has that changed?
I think it's changed. It's come a long way. I think in the past people thought this was a bad neighborhood, you know. But the people are trying to rebuild, trying to clean up the community, and they're having like block parties and different things to, you know, to get together and work together. They're scheduling work days for cleanup days. So I think the community with the Whiteley community has helped a lot for people to get information to them, what's available and how they can get help.
Deciding the fate of the family of men.
That's Gloria Adams, Scoutmaster for Troop 189 at Motivate Our Minds in Muncie. She's worked with J. Ron and Janiya McGee since they were in first grade. They're eighth graders now and getting close to becoming Eagle Scouts. We talked to them at Schaefer Chapel in the Whiteley neighborhood, where they're helping build a parking lot as part of the church's restoration. In a moment, the story of Schaefer Chapel and how it once became part of a grim chapter in the country's history.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
We've been talking with you today about the historic Schaefer Chapel in Muncie's Whiteley neighborhood. Folks here, led by Cornelius Dollison, president of the Neighborhood Association, and his wife Mary, raised more than $60,000 to restore the church. You met the two 8th grade Boy Scouts and their Scoutmaster helping out with the project. There's a Schaefer Church renovation celebration Sunday at 3 p.m. Information at schaeferchapel.org. Go there and you'll meet some really dedicated people. But that's not all the story. There's more to Schaefer Chapel. This is the church that stood up to the Klan. On a terrible August night in American history in 1930, the city of Marion was the site of the last recorded lynching in a northern state after the arrest of two black men charged with rape. The men were murdered, and when no one in Marion would take the bodies and prepare them for burial, the pastor at Schaefer Church, also a mortician, volunteered to care for the bodies. Ku Klux Klan members arrived to intimidate the pastor, but they were held off by black residents of Whiteley who held an all-night vigil to protect the church, the murder victims, and the pastor.
This is a place in Muncie in an American history, isn't it?
Well, at that time, the pastor of this church happened to be a mortician, Reverend Johnson. He was a mortician. And when they had the hanging in Marion, Marion is a place where they didn't have an African-American funeral home there or a mortician. And so to give those young men in Marion who were hanged at the time a decent burial, he decided to go up and retrieve the bodies and bring them back here so they could have a decent burial. And
that by itself was a matter of courage.
It sure was.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I believe, as history would, was recorded, I believe the sheriff was involved with it. But the Ku Klux Klan had got wind of that, and they were saying they're going to come and get those bodies and drag them through the streets of Muncie. And so that brought on the whole community rallying around this here mortician here at Schaefer, and they had an all-night vigil. And it's just really fortunate that it wasn't a really bloodshed event following that lynching to where there was a lot of people dying from the results of that. But that is why this is a historical site, because of the involvement of the community.
And Whiteley was Whiteley then.
Yes, it was.
As it is today. And so
yes,
this is the people of Whiteley standing up to the Ku Klux Klan on a night
right.
of terror.
That's true. It sure was.
There's a book written called A Night of Terror by James Cameron that we've read and learned a lot about the history.
And he was one of the young men who was arrested at that time, but for some strange reason he was the one that was let go because they said he wasn't involved with it, and he was let go.
Do people from here have family memories of this? In other words, if you grew up in Whiteley, do people remember their grandparents or folks talking about those days, maybe even that time?
Yes, we have some people like Hurley Goodall. He is one of the people who was a young boy at the time, but he was instrumental in us trying to get this historical marker. He has a lot of involvement with things that he's done for.
And Mrs. Reinhart.
Hurley Goodall told me a story of being a young guy and seeing a Klan rally or march or something
yeah.
in Muncie.
Yeah, that's That's part of that history.
It's not just in the history books. This is in the memories
of people. Right, right. This is true. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to remember. We've come a long way as a community and everything. But it's unfortunate you see all of this here hate and stuff like that and how it can still affect people. So.
And John, one of the things that we feel that people from all over the country have been involved with this fundraising, and one lady whose parents or family was involved in the lynching, she sent $200 from Bloomington, Indiana, and said that her family still suffers from that night today. And if she had the money, she would pay for it. We wouldn't even have to do it. She said it would be bring closure for her family.
When you say her family was involved, you mean on the side of the perpetrators?
Absolutely. They were on the side of the perpetrators. They were there.
In the picture that's depicted all over where the two young men were hanging, and you can see people down below, and some of her family was there. And so she's regretting, you know, this incident, and it still affects them even today. So
80 years later.
Yeah.
Are there other memories, do you think? I mean, if you were, if they had a church social here, would you find older folks who would be able to tell you, this was, this isn't ancient history.
No, we got an email from Charles Payne from Maria Williams Hawkins at Ball State, and she has been trying to talk with the woman who's 100 years old, who has memories of all of this. And they're not sure that she understands enough to be able to articulate it. But there are a lot of people still living today who remember that awful incident.
Where are we now? You were saying society's come a long way. How would you assess the state of race relations now?
We have come a long way. You know, we have a black president, and you can see there's a lot of people who don't like him. And I'm thinking it's unfortunate that it appears to be all because of his color. And that's unfortunate, but that just tells us where we really are.
Still have a ways to go.
We still have a lot of race hate in our country, and it's just evident.
Mm-hmm.
That's Cornelius Dollison and his wife Mary working to restore the historic Schaefer Chapel in Muncie's Whiteley neighborhood. They're still glad to receive support on the project, and you can meet those folks and see their work at the Schaefer Church Renovation Celebration, Sunday at 3 p.m., information at schaeferchapel.org. And that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time, and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flexsteel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.